We're continuing our studies in the book of Galatians. And I want to look at the blessings of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are now blessed because of what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross, as we read in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When we think about the curse of the law, there's also the blessing of the law. And I want us to understand that there is a blessing of the law. The blessing of the law is, if you obey it, you'll get to stay in the land, your crops will grow, and when you go to Jerusalem, nobody will bother your property, and all the other blessings that go with it. And when we think about men and women like Mary and Joseph, and we think about Elizabeth and Zacharias, even the Apostle Paul, as far as the law was concerned, was blameless. And when we think about even Cornelius, was just. And so there is a blessing of the law and there is a cursing. And we went over the curses of the law here not too long ago. And obviously we have been delivered or redeemed from those curses because we do not have to fear of being scattered throughout the nations like the children of Israel are now doing or having or experiencing. So there are curses and blessings. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law that we might receive the blessing of Abraham that has come on the Gentiles. And I want to address that part of it this morning. What curse has He redeemed us from as Gentile believers? Well, in Deuteronomy, this is not in your notes, but in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live." This blessing and cursing has to do with the inheritance. If a child of God died in the wilderness, he perished and lost his inheritance. And so God set before them life and death, blessing and cursing. So what do we associate with cursing? Death. Perishing. When the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his company, that's death. That's the curse. Curse of what? Rebelling against Moses and Aaron. Not only that, there was, 17 or 18,000 people consumed in as a part of that curse because of rebellion against Moses and Aaron. So, part of the curse is death. You curse your parents, what happened? Death. You were stoned to death. You worshipped another god, they stoned you. You got into immoral acts of, acts of immorality, whatever they may be, they stoned you. So, there's life and death. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 7, there was a law against the Gentiles that we need to appreciate. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office, for everything of the altar, that is, and I think this is the altar of the incense inside the tabernacle itself, it seems like to me, and within the veil, that's beyond the altar of incense, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gift. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. What is the curse as far as the Gentile is concerned? You try to come close to me, death. Death by stoning. And when they stoned that Gentile to death, what did they do? They hung him on a tree. To show what? To show that he was cursed of God. That's what it means. Everyone who hangs on a tree is cursed of God. Jesus Christ hung on a tree. He was to show he was cursed of God. For what reason? Because our sins were placed upon him. He was not worthy of death, though he did die and he was hung on the tree, because the Jews had judged him having a sin worthy of death. But he was actually there for you and for me. So what is the curse against the Gentiles? You try to draw nigh, you come close, too close to the tabernacle, you were put to be put to death. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain on all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." So the reason for executing people for disobeying the law was to keep the land from being defiled. And so this is the verse that shows you what happens to those who defile God's holy places. They are hung on a tree to show that they have been cursed. Now, one of the things that we need to keep in mind about Gentiles is that Gentiles, when Jesus Christ came to minister to them, were excluded from certain things. Now, he came to the Jews under the law, and that the blessings of the Jews were only for the Jews. And the Gentiles were excluded. There's no curse in this, but we need to see that there is a distinction God made between the nation of Israel and God and the Gentile believers in his day. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is just showing the fact that there was a message to the nation of Israel, and there was a message that the Gentile believers were not allowed to enter into. They were not being blessed by this message. This blessing was not their portion. And this has to do with a heavenly blessing and not an earthly. Because I want us to be reminded, and I've included it in the notes, but maybe a little later than I should have. Gentiles, if they obeyed the law and worshiped God and lived and bore children among the tribe in which they, which they dwelt, they were promised an inheritance. And you find that in Ezekiel 47 in verse 22, which is in your notes, by the way. And it says, "It shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you," that is Israel, "and to the strangers," that is the Gentiles, "that sojourn among you, which will beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel." So the Gentiles were promised an inheritance among the tribe in which they dwelt. But they had to stay in that tribe. They had to live in that tribe in obedience, that they did not suffer the curses of the law. If they disobeyed the law, they were executed just like the Jews. Except there was one thing they couldn't do that a Jew could do, and that was come to into the holy places of the tabernacle. So, during the days when Jesus was ministering to the nation of Israel, a Gentile dog came by. She was in need. Her daughter was hurting at home. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 26 through 29, it says the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. That is, she was a Gentile. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. In the account in Matthew, he ignored her. He just kept right on walking, and here she is, you know, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. He just, you know, he was deaf in that ear. You didn't know the Lord was deaf in one ear, did you? No. Anyway, he didn't hear her. But here he says, it's not fit for me to give the children's food to dogs. And she came back with an answer. She says, and she said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is out of thy daughter. You know, the point is I'm making here is that God or the Lord treated Gentiles different than he did Jews. Not that Gentiles couldn't be saved. See, this is where people think that, you know, before Jesus died on the cross, the poor Gentiles went to hell. That's just simply not the case. Gentiles were saved just like Jews. They accepted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They accepted the God of Noah, of Adam, the fathers in the Old Testament. They worshiped him with sacrifices. And the Lord heard their prayers as well. We know that from the passages in Isaiah. Now, but in Acts chapter 10, it says here, and he said unto them, ye yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a Gentile. Hey, Peter says, look, I'm down here, and I'm not supposed to associate with you dogs. I mean, you know, Peter was having a struggle. He wasn't supposed to be with the Gentiles. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. So we see that the law said, don't associate with Gentiles. In Acts chapter 21, we find Peter in the temple. And what happened in the temple? The men cried out, men of Israel, come to our aid. This is the man who preached to all men everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he's even brought Greeks or Gentiles, where? Into the temple. In Paul's day, it was wrong, man, you know, as far as the Jews were concerned, to bring a Gentile in the temple. It defiled it. That's what it was like before. But you know what? Jesus Christ redeemed us from that curse. If a Gentile had gone into that place where Paul was, he would have been executed by the Jews. And they would have perished. It says in verse 29, and for they had previously seen Trophimus, that is a Gentile, the Ephesian, in the city with him, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Now there was a court of the Gentiles, and then there was a court for the Jews. So there was a division, and Paul apparently was in the court of the Jews, and they thought he had brought a Gentile in there. So I'm just showing you that there was a curse for Gentiles to enter into the close to the temple area, or inside the temple area. Now, in Galatians 3:14, we were reminded that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Well, we know that that the Gentiles have been given an earthly inheritance because of Ezekiel 47 and verse 22. But the Gentiles had been excluded from a heavenly inheritance. But that all changed. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, we find that Gentiles were aliens. They were strangers. They were outcasts. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, that is, the Jews, put them down, you uncircumcised dog. And they put themselves up. They were circumcised because of the commandment given to Abraham. And this circumcision was made in the flesh by hands. That at the time you were without Christ, in other words, they had no Messiah. That's what the word Christ has to do with. No Messiah. No king. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They got the crumbs. They didn't get the wealth. They got the crumbs. They were strangers from the covenant. God made no covenant promises with the children of Israel. But He did promise them an inheritance. But that's not a covenant. That was just a promise that they would have an inheritance in the tribe where they lived. They had no hope of any inheritance. God did not promise a Gentile any inheritance in the land by lot. As the nation of Israel, they were without a God in the world. In other words, whose God was it? It was the God of Shem. Whose God was it? It was the God of the nation of Israel. Not the God of Iraq or the God of the United States. It was the God of Israel. And so the Gentiles, not that they didn't know God and have Him as their God, it's just that God did not identify with the Gentile population of the earth. He identified with the nation of Israel. Now, so that's the state of the Gentile before the cross. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, it says, "But Christ becoming high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building." So we're talking about a heavenly tabernacle. Well, Gentiles weren't allowed to go to the earthly tabernacle. What about the heavenly tabernacle? Can the Gentiles go to the heaven, save Gentiles, go to the heavenly tabernacle? Well, we'll find out. Of course, we all know the answer to that. We can, but let's go on with the truth here. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained an age-lasting redemption for us," or a redemption for this age. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctify through the purifying of the flesh, how much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're able to serve Him, because that gives us deliverance from the bondage of fear and whatever. And for this cause He is the mediator," verse 15, "of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the age-lasting inheritance." So we're talking about life in the kingdom. Age-lasting inheritance is kingdom inheritance. It's the better inheritance. Now, He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that curse is they couldn't draw near. The Gentiles could not draw near. And here we just got through reading about a heavenly tabernacle. Now, how can we draw near? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off," are what? "Are made nigh." Made nigh by what? The blood. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And He came and preached peace to you which were afar off." Boy, that's nothing. Isn't that something? He preached the grace of God to the Gentiles. That's where peace comes from, is His grace. And he preached peace unto them. "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." That is really great stuff. Not only can we come into the heavenly tabernacle and we can have peace, we can communicate through the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father. Like Moses did. directly with Jehovah over the mercy seat. And there were times that he communicated to him, he wasn't even at the mercy seat. Particularly when Aaron and Miriam got bold and said, "Hey, we're just as good as you, Moses." And Moses said, "We'll see." Anyway, so not only we have access to one Spirit unto the Father, now therefore ye are no more strangers, no more far off, and no more fear of being stoned to death by trying to come near. You're not foreigners anymore, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know, if you're the household of God, you've got an inheritance. And it's a heavenly inheritance, because we're talking about a heavenly tabernacle and heavenly blessings. And Jesus Christ is our high priest concerning good things that are coming. And that has to do with the coming kingdom. Ephesians also tells us in chapter 3, verses 4-6, whereby when we read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. Paul was revealing things that Peter didn't know, particularly about the Gentiles, and possibly the other apostles as well. Because they learned their lessons well, don't go to the Gentiles. But anyway, let's go on. Now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs with whom? With the nation of Israel, who will have a heavenly inheritance, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise. What promise? The promise is life for the age, or age-lasting life, in Christ by the gospel. 1 Peter 2:10 tells us that time past, we were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. You know what? The Lord said, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in them that hope in his mercy. And this has to do with hoping in his mercy. That has part of the hope. Hoping in his mercy. You know, I'm going to just share this. I've still got pain in my hip and my leg, and I need to sit down a lot. And I just thank the Lord. You know, if I didn't have this, Lord, I wouldn't be hoping in your mercy. Have you ever looked at your troubles that way? You know, if I wasn't in trouble, if I wasn't hurting, if I wasn't struggling, I wouldn't be hoping you'd have mercy on me. And I'm thanking you, Lord, you have that you're taking, that you're delighted with me. That's the thought that I thought this week. The Lord taketh pleasure in those that fear him. I fear the Lord, and I'm hoping in his mercy, you know, and I hope you will do the same. So what can we do, brethren? Hebrews 10:19-22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, or Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. When his flesh was opened, what came out? Blood and water. And that made it possible for us to get into the veil, inside within the veil. And so we're no longer Gentiles who are far off, but we can be made nigh. Without fear of what? Execution. That's being delivered from the curse of what? The law. The law. Now, we aren't delivered from the penalty of sinning. You sin. It's just like taking a 10-penny nail and driving it into a nice mahogany coffee table. You can pull the nail out and patch it, but the scar is still there, right? Scar is still there. So, we can get in through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true assurance and full, true hearts and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Sprinkle with an evil conscience, that has to do with the blood. Water has to do with baptism. And the daily bath that we do in confession of sin. Colossians 1, alienated Gentiles, it says, and you that were sometimes, in verse 21, and you which were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. How can that happen? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, the Lord made it possible for us to draw nigh. He made it possible for our hope to stay steadfast, because it's coming into the Holy of Holies by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will keep us faithful to Him. And it will sprinkle our hearts from a conscience of evil works, and it will help us to serve Him. And you know, before we were delivered from the curse of the law, we just couldn't get very close to the Lord. We can today. You know what? Do that. Today, do that tomorrow. Do that when you need for fellowship and for cleansing. You know what? He's there. And He made the way possible for us to get to Him. Why? Because He wants us there to be with Him. Father, I just pray that You would bless the message to our hearts. How we thank You. You have delivered us from the curse of the law, trying to draw nigh unto Thee meant execution. Today, when we draw nigh unto You, it means blessing. And we want to thank You for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.